Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam. I'll be playing as Vaughn's original recipe, or Nacho flavor, and Cool Ranch Vaughn's. We are the, these are the furry fox folk friends, and one's an alchemist, the other's a ninja. I have not nailed this intro yet.
It's okay.
Yeah, I keep forgetting detail. Anyway, we're all using the he, him pronouns. And today, I think maybe we've got more practice to do. One of us needs a shower, the other doesn't care.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns. And Jesse is just gonna, get ready to get things done.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard, who's currently melded with Sidroa, the goo creature. We are known as Weldroa while we're stuck together. And you can throw any pronoun you want to at us. I use they, them. And Wealthy was unexpectedly successful at some of her drills last week and is now anticipating not being so successful when things actually come down to it.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot. We all use he, him pronouns, and we're ready for action.
If you get a chance, you should rate and review us on our podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us, makes us feel good about what we do. You should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Sure, I would love to do the recap. Last time we did drills again. We did the second drill and it went great. And then we did the third drill and it went, great also. So that's all that we did. And it was a very good montage-y episode, and if you haven't listened to it, I do recommend doing that.
It only took 270 episodes to learn how to do a montage, but we did it, y'all.
I know. Did it. I know.
Kels gave me shit about that the other day. It was great. All right. So, this is basically our last do things you want to do to prep. I know of exactly one of these that you had on your docket, which is that Vaughn's wanted to go do some more research and see what you can finish ginning up before you fight wave after wave of corruption while trying to land a city.
We haven't been super successful yet with actually producing a vaccine or something that will alchemically prevent us from being taken over by corruption. And
prevent? No, but you did invent a cure, which is still more than anyone else has done.
Well, yeah, it's a cure, but it's, like, not easy to administer. How are those students doing?
Are they still students?
They're fully tenured professors, every single one of them.
Wait till they get the bill. That student loan that they don't know they took out is gonna...
We don't have student loans in this scenario because Ian is not a cruel person.
Correct.
Who would make people who are his friends think about their student loans.
Sorry, I didn't mean to walk everybody into a minefield of
it's fine.
Of debt feelings.
Well, this is the rich fantasy world without student loans. So
yeah, exactly.
All right. So I assume you all go down to check on the grad students and ideally contribute your own research.
Well, I need to go pick up my construct.
Well, I mean, but let's nail down what Vaughn's is doing.
Oh, okay.
He has
okay,
the most trouble that. Figuring out what he's doing, I think.
We should all go together.
We should all go together.
Okay.
Go
together.
Okay, let's go together.
You can all contribute to a thing together in one spot so I don't have to jump back and forth.
I don't know why you'd want that. That sounds boring.
I know. It's
Ian... But here's the thing. Every time you make us do stuff together, we expand montage scenes to be 7 episodes long.
Well,
have you considered that?
There's not enough you're allowed to do down here to do that.
Okay.
Unless have you considered leave the lab, in which case, God help you.
Have you considered if you made a game that was like a cross mashup between Rashomon and Memento?
I mean, that's how I write, so that's just like overall how I write.
I mean, this game feels like Rashomon sometimes, but I guess we need the Memento part.
Yeah, that's true.
I say this with love. All right, so y'all go down to have a lab day and check up on the grad students and those other schlubs who are there. You know, the various Jenkinses, Jinkai, Jinkies. All right, so Vons, how do you approach getting updates from your grad students?
Boorishly likely. Yeah, hey guys. Where's the guys?
Hey.
Is this all of you? Is this all there is? You guys haven't, like, made more of you yet? Just this many?
There, I mean, you know it takes, like, a long time to make a person. Like, they don't, it's not like flowers or something. Or plants. Well,
I thought,
like, it takes a while to, like, I mean,
you put people together, eventually there's more people. Like,
well, yeah, but, like, I don't know. Did you tell them to have kids? Because, like,
or they could, like, find more. Like, they, you know,
they can build them on a table.
Hang out. Yeah.
Jesse goes up to the nearest grad student and goes, "You don't have to have kids if you don't want to."
I mean, Victor Frankenstein was a grad student.
You know, friends. You could find friends or something, other chemists. I don't know.
I mean, we've been cooped up in a lab working on your project for months, so makes it hard to get out.
All right, I'll go open the reward window.
Jesse, like, takes in the group of grad students and thinks to herself, I wonder if any of them are dating now. Because, like, working together very closely frequently makes people, you know, get together.
Jesse, make a wisdom check.
Yay.
Locked in a basement for weeks.
Locked months. In a basement for weeks and months.
I mean, they're down at the Jenkins lab, so it's pretty nice for a post-apocalypse bunker.
Check the waste basket. That's always a quick tell.
That's a 28 on a prime.
None of them appear to be dating each other, based on body language.
Okay. Not even fucking? Just
nope. Oh, maybe they were dating and they're mad at each other now. Bummer. Ian's got to have a die for this.
No.
There's got to be a table somewhere.
Okay. There's no vibes. Jesse's not getting any vibes.
Not
is
at
that
the
what
moment,
you're saying?
Although they may unify in reaction to their fearless leader. It's hard to say for sure.
Okay. They're going to have an orgy because they hate Vons?
I meant unify as in, like, they're all focused on figuring out what they're going to do.
Okay.
Vons asks.
I mean, we can all picture a flyer for that orgy.
You ever want to fuck Vons?
The but fuck like, Vons or say, by not or fucking like, Vons orgy.
Yeah, have you considered fucking Vons by not fucking Vons and fucking some other people about it instead?
Yeah, Vons would be confused by that hostility, but yeah, we can all imagine the flyer.
It got complicated.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I made it weird.
You're exploring different directions of the world.
Sure. I would like to move on from my line of questioning.
All right. So, Vons, you're asking them how it was going, I imagine.
Yeah. Okay, so talking to the grad students. Okay, so what's keeping you guys? What do we have a cure yet? How's this going? Is this like...
I mean, we had a cure the last time you were here. You used it.
Well,
we were there.
Oh, right. No. But vaccine now. How's that
Pre-cure.
Going? Yes. The before you're sick fixer. The preventative measures.
Is it river or meadow? The centaur taps a sign that says vaccines are a different line of research. Another one resets the counter to 0 days.
How many digits did they have to remove?
It's always one.
It's always one. Okay.
If no one from the outside visits, I think it can count up to two digits, but then someone comes by and asks them. So, no vaccine yet. We probably need a more powerful thing to do that. But, I mean, we still have your cure. Still has...
Vaccine needs more powerful? Crap.
Well, imagine it this way. You have sunlight. You try to give someone a quick burst of it. Incidentally, the cure that we have is still very hard on the body. So cure the corruption, but there's a chance I don't make it out the other side of being cured. And, well, if something's that rough on the body in a short, sharp dose, do you want burning in your veins forever?
No.
See, Trick, this just takes me back to...
Nope.
Oh, that was a painful quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't talk about that while we're recording.
Uh-huh. Editor, just bleep that out and leave in the reaction.
Yeah, I think the listener will get that'll be that fun. Way.
No, I like that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically, the cure is too hard on the body, and also vaccinating against, well, magic is hard. Like, if one of you knows an anti-magic shell spell, that might work, but then we'd have to make it into an alchemical concoction and also make it so it doesn't, you know, kill people. And it's usable by people who don't channel magic themselves and doesn't drain people of their magic.
Well, the trick to magic shell is coconut oil.
Oh.
Where are we getting coconuts up here?
Well, what's the opposite of coconuts? That's what we need. Is it lime?
Your nose is bleeding.
There are limes that fame as exotic fruit.
I bet Harper knows where to find coconuts and limes.
Don't you guys only have a limited amount of time before you're going to be defending the thing?
See, you're leaving this together, and so...
Time doesn't advance until we talk to the special NPC that starts the quest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm one of them. You can see the flag in my data in my construction kit. So...
So what gets through a magic shell? Do you know something, Wit? Not Wit.
Grix?
Grix.
Nope. No, that's not my jam at all. Not in the slightest. I could do an ice storm on him, but that doesn't sound good. No,
jam does sound like the opposite of magic shell.
What?
Wealthy, roll an intelligence check to try to puzzle out this magic shell stuff.
Yeah, I've never heard of magic shell, but that doesn't mean anything. I haven't looked through all the books. That's an 11 on the die. 11, 22, plus 2 is 24.
All right. University training comes in handy again. So first off, it should be anti-magic shell, and it might technically be called anti-magic sphere. Basically, what they're talking about is a barrier that means that magic does not pass out of it or into it. And it's a pretty high-level spell. And at least at the moment, there's no alchemical equivalent. So they're basically saying, if you can find a way to essentially coat the body against magic, that would be a good way to stop the corruption. Yeah, think of it as...
You're saying corruption is magical.
I mean,
bro, we've all known that the whole time.
Well, but magic doesn't exist, so...
It's really weird that you suddenly are saying that, like, all the time, when you, like, never used to say that, like, ever.
Well, okay, fine. Magic's a thing, but I don't know. I have nothing to do with it.
Well, then think of it as a general anti-whatever the hell you think is going on protection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would still have downsides, but it'd be easier on the body. Wreak havoc on any casters using it, but, you know, one step at a time.
Well, I've got a cadre of wizards and magicians that, you know, I've been instructing how to battle. At least one of them's got to have magic shell.
Yes, but do they know how to concoct it into an alchemical formula that can be injected into the body in, I don't know, 3 weeks? Or we...
That's a good question. I'll have to ask.
Well, they make a wisdom check.
That is 14 on the die, plus 11 is 25. That's it, 25.
Probably not.
Probably not, but you know.
That amount of time. And just on a straight meta level, any sort of long-term protection is probably going to be a next Stark thing when you're looking at trying to cure the corruption, your other big objective.
Okay.
Depending on what research you do in this intervening time that you have, you may be able to get something very short-term, but nothing... Okay. Nothing that's going to stay around in people's systems for a long period of time.
Gonna need boosters.
Yeah, you're going to get Radax. It's going to reduce the amount of corruption you take to as low as possible, which is zero functionally, but it does wear off.
Uh-huh.
It's a maybe during the battle thing. If you're lucky, it lasts the whole battle. It's not a everyone just take this and we'll check back in a month.
Mm.
Got it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, we do have some other promising avenues. Well, first off, we can try to work on making more doses of the cure. So you have some emergency backups.
Talk to... Lucky's still manning the shop, is she, or...
Usually, but you can have brought her with you for this. You can have brought her with you for this if you want.
Let's do that.
Hello, I'm here now. I've been in the background this whole time.
Oh, hello, sister. Do you think you could help these students mass produce with as much honey as we can get a hold of a cure or the cure for the corruption using our brewing equipment and all of that? Because we're going to need, once we land, I'm sure, plenty of this stuff to keep the wounded from getting all gross and horrible.
This is actually a lovely lead into a refresher about how the corruption works.
Oh, did I mess it up again?
It's really easy to forget how the corruption happens. So
you made a fairly reasonable leap, but that
it's
quite
not like zombie virus.
Correct. Okay, yeah. So the main thing about the corruption is that it's not like a zombie virus. It's an active thing done by one corruption to another person, another creature of some variety who is not corrupted. The big thing is they have to do it at the moment of death. This is a little squidgy, but mostly means if you're below, in gameplay terms, if you're below zero, they can corrupt you. You do not, and you would know some of this from Shad too, having done a cure on Shad. It appears that the corruption does not fully repair anything that has been done to the person they have just corrupted. So if they have a deep wound and you cure them, that wound will still be open and you have to deal with that very quickly.
Oh. I don't remember that, but wow, okay, cool.
Shad was about to die of exhaustion, so it was
obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that Shad was very tired when we cured them, but I didn't remember... Yeah, I didn't remember anything else.
Yeah. It also requires physical contact by the corrupted creature with the creature they're trying to corrupt. It happens fast, but it's not instantaneous. It probably would happen... in one round. So in theory, if you were to find a way to, you know, point a sunlight laser at the process, you could reset it or, you know, pull it off of them or whatever. So you have a very small amount of time to react. Normally, I think in standard practice for the Guardians right now, if the corrupted creature is currently looking pretty durable, it might be just as likely to be a mercy killing situation as it is to be a save them situation, depending on, well, the situation.
Either is better than dealing with a fresh corrupted creature on the battleground.
Exactly.
So it's like sticking a nearly dead thing into a Ziploc baggie of doom that just preserves them. And
yeah, it's kind of a stasis thing. That said, the injuries don't seem to persist in terms of messing with the corrupted's ability to function in any way. They appear to be completely ignored or compensated for in some way. You've never seen a corrupted missing an arm.
But you can give them new injuries.
You can. They're very hard to kill.
Does the corruption effectively reset their hit points or create a new set of hit points or something?
It functionally resets their hit points. And they keep going longer than the average person would. Basically, you've also never seen a corrupted creature get knocked unconscious.
They just go from straight from up and active to like dead.
Yeah, unless you start like removing parts.
Okay.
So this cure, we're going to have to jam it into him real good somehow.
Yeah.
Is this injectable?
Well, I mean, it was
remember the Shad.
As I recall, when we cured Shad, Shad had to take the activator potion, like that had to take like a potion first that would like put the sort of like magic catalyst into their body, and then they had to take the like actual cure potion itself that like did the cure part. So
yes, technically the order's flipped. Basically, what you guys were doing was you injected a cure, but it needed to be throughout the entire system to work. And then you use the derivative of Verlodrin to cause that burst of magic to activate everything in their system at once to push the corruption out.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a two-step process. It is injectable. The delivery was a little finicky, but they've been working on it. And also, you can also work on it to make it so it's more of a, you know, EpiPen situation where it requires a little less finesse.
There is that's a whole different kind of student you need for that. You got to go talk to the engineering wing now.
Yeah, but as far as using this in combat, it takes about a minute for the cure to go throughout the body before the second injection can be given and be effective. So you would probably want a way to restrain somebody. And someone would have to essentially be supervising and then inject them when the time was right.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if you get someone out of the situation, like an injured person, you don't need to worry about them being corrupted because they need that physical contact and the corrupted needs to be there like right when they're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
So those folks are fine.
Yeah.
We have to recapture corrupted people in order to cure them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were working long-term on a better delivery system, but landing, when we were deciding, well, campaign priority, essentially landing the arcs was going to be thing one, and then thing two was going to be figuring out how to do a mass cure of people.
Yeah, I was not entirely on with that, but yeah.
And you do have a shield around the city to keep you all from having to treat a zillion corrupted people a day. Once you land, it just has to be turned off during the landing to let the mountain settle back in properly.
Yeah, a shield situation is never going awry.
This might have come up before. I promise I'm not going to screw you guys over by being like, just kidding, the shield never worked.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we did the Jurassic Park acting already.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, I guess it's, yeah, better than nothing. And I imagine that's how we left it last time. And we're still hoping to figure out a vaccine, ideally, before we actually try to take the shield off of the arcs and allow for travel and whatever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could help us do research and try to find some derivatives.
See,
you could
like
just
work.
Stand there and disapprove of us, but... But oh, great leader Vons, I thought you were super smart.
I mean, I mostly just stare at these things and tell them what to be.
And you don't believe in magic. And you don't believe in magic is what you're saying.
It's not magic, that's science.
Yeah.
Come on, Vons, you helped design the thing.
So
just imagine how famous he'll be.
So we need a quick delivery system for this. Do we have engineering students around? Anybody who knows how to make medical injectors real quick? Gotta get this going.
Out of the Jinkies, Craig is the most qualified to do that. He tends to make a lot of devices. You could also try to import some people from up top.
Yeah, Wealthy's got a pipette back at our place for bacon.
What if we put the Relodrin ingredient into a delayed release kind of a pill situation so that we could put these both in somebody at once, and then like once one ingredient was distributed through the body, the other would release then, and then it's like delivered at once so that we don't have to worry about it so much. So we could like,
what if we like made like a gusher? Like, what if we made like a gusher out of like beeswax and Relodrin?
How do you inject a gusher?
Well, I mean, I'm still focused on like.
That didn't take me to a G-rated place.
On like, you know, administering it orally.
Not better.
I don't care, man. I'm trying to get work done.
Well, it sounds like you have a direction for research, at least, to try to figure out a delayed reaction thing. And then also figuring out an injector that can deliver both those things at once, preferably without having to stand over the creature. Although, it's going to be an interesting day if you shoot one of them with a dart gun, they end up, you know, 300 feet away, finding a former ally, and then a minute later, suddenly themselves again. But that's their problem, not yours.
Right. I mean, on a battlefield, this has to be a pretty quick situation anyway. We can't take time to restrain somebody for a whole minute. That's so many rounds.
You could have a medical tent. Strap someone down and leave them with someone who can inject them when the time is right.
That's still too much commitment for a minute. Like, we know how fast rounds happen in this game. It's dangerous. Gotta be able to stick them and leave.
You could also do it, like, between encounters, but yes. Alright, so, research time.
Wow, we've got, like, the practice mode featured, like, 6 rocks at once, right? Yes. Last week.
What?
Last week's episode, even, like, our drills, we were dealing with, like, 6 rocks at once.
I don't remember rocks? I don't remember the six rocks. Yeah, rock as in like R-O-C. The big bird, the ROC.
Oh, ROC. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Steamboat Willie was simulating attacking several creatures, but.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Grix definitely summoned like a bunch of stuff, but that was more like groundy type things that were surging into the tunnels.
Mm-hmm. Well, if this cure is effective and battlefield ready, we could effectively use it as not just saving our people, but converting their ranks too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good.
You would have to then be ready to medically treat the people you cure, but yes.
Yeah.
Magical potions are very effective.
They are. So or alchemical potions anyway.
But all right. So we're going to do some research. This is going to involve mostly intelligence checks, and we will... Grix, do you want to be helping with the alchemical research or the mechanical delivery system?
Oh, Grix is mechanical by nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jesse...
His magic is basically just... No, you believe it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've ridden on one of my dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's just hanging out... I like, really, Jesse is not helpful in this situation.
I can think of at least one thing you might be able to help with, but I will essentially call on you for that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sorry, right. I support you wanting to have everyone in the scene together. I just don't feel like Jesse has anything to do here, really.
Yeah.
Move heavy objects.
Except be like, are you seriously not believing in magic?
I know, right? He just keeps doing it now. Weird.
I'm really sorry that you're dealing with this still.
If I let myself feel too much about that, I will lose my mind. So let's go to your research.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's, yeah.
All right. Vons, fearless leader.
Ah.
Roll your first intelligence check. Real quick, Grix, do you want to bring in any assistance for mechanical research?
Oh, God, do we need more? Do we not have enough?
I mean... Most of them are going to be doing a chemical research, so we currently have yourself.
Cog.
Craig. Yeah. Cog was the main person I could think of. You'll gain 1 cog in your machine.
I'm thinking we need like a Bioshock style injector thingy, something that could be exactly. Really stabbable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, cog. You know what? Maybe I'll go to the clinics and see if any of the folks there who apply medicines have special knowledge and thoughts of improvements. Like,
Elizabeth Baker? Dr. Baker?
Her. There was also another one who had a gnome name.
Righteous Fury?
No, maybe?
I mean, Righteous Fury is a person that we have encountered many times in the clinics.
Yeah.
And you have heard knows about prosthetics.
Okay. All right.
Maybe yeah, them then. Else, but...
I thought there was someone with a very much more basic name, like along the lines of, you know, purity, wealthy, kindness, happiness. There's somebody else. Fuck, I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
It's very possible that I'm just not pulling them out of my head. All right. So you gain some clinic people and you gain cock.
Sweet.
Okay. All right. So Vons, first intelligence check.
Okay. First intelligence check. Oh, 18 on the die. That's a good sign. Adding 12 puts it at 30.
All right. And then Weldraw, since you're also contributing to this line of research, roll an intelligence check.
Okay. 16.
Total?
Total.
Damn.
That was a 3.
That'll do it.
Bummer.
Yeah.
All right. So, alchemical folks. Grad students do amazingly well. Lucky does not do as well. That's all right. Okay, so, between all of you, you go a little bit down the road of figuring out how to make this cure a little more two-stage. You think you wouldn't be able to use a full-on gusher or a pill necessarily, especially if you want this to be battlefield use. But you might be able to do some sort of, like, suspensory coating thing. All I can think of is, like, microbeads. So, you know, just take advantage of microplastics. Just wrap everything in that. We'll get in their bloodstream. It's great.
Yeah, just kind of, what is it? You kind of polymerize the juice of fava beans and you get that, like, those little gelatin capsule-y things. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Albeit using alchemy to make it very, very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
Because you also don't want to have to aim this thing at a vein or an artery. So, because that would be hard to do.
Yeah, it takes too much time.
Speaking of aiming, Grix.
Yeah.
Intelligence check for mechanical research, please.
Let's do it. 18. Prime.
All right. Cog does decently, and Dr. Baker and co. also do decently. And Craig crits. Okay. Hmm. So.
All right. Go team.
I just stand around with my finger in my mouth going.
I mean, you don't have to put yourself down.
Yeah. No, you were. I'll be clear for these checks. Everyone is helping. It's just a question of
how much?
Who comes up with something novel. Yeah. The people who run gels are still important and contribute to the team, you know? But, all right. So, mechanical folks, you figure out that you think you're going to need a way to mount this on essentially an arrowhead or probably even better, a crossbow bolt head. You can use the force of the projectile to depress the plunger once it hits the other end. You don't have to be standing next to the creature, which is always a great benefit in situations like this. And it lets you deliver, relatively speaking. Well, it gives you a bit of a weight limit, which I think is the thing you're hung up on right now. It's fairly easy to build something, you know, a large gauge needle and stuff if you, with the materials that kind of materials that you're using, because you're using glass and metal, but making it light enough to not cause an arrow to just start flipping end over end is trickier. Okay.
An airborne method does sound fun, but the likelihood of projectiles missing in this game engine is so high. Do we have a stabby option too?
Okay, like they're also working the same on a stabby thing, option. But I think the issue with the stab is figuring out how to make it so it so it's not stab in and then press the thing down with your thumb while the creature you are trying to inject guts you.
Yeah, the auto injection system is
So they're both being pursued.
Uh-huh. Could be spring loaded.
Could be.
Could be.
All right.
I'll leave that to the engineers.
Okay, research round 2. So, alchemy folks, bonds and wealthy. Mm-hmm. The second week of research, and you be researching. So, roll more intelligence checks for me.
Ah, this time I rolled a 3. But 3 plus 12 is 15. So, not great.
25. I'm hitting my stride now.
Yeah, you'll make a little more progress. The big issue now is for the folks doing the research on, like, the cure medicine itself, you run into an issue where, I just thought of it, where was I going? Okay, you run into an issue where the idea works, but manufacturing it is incredibly difficult. Basically, this would get you a half dozen doses, which is still useful, but isn't quite what you're aiming for, clearly. So, you have a lead, you think it'll work. There's also the issue of needing to do a live fire exercise with this stuff, but based on your simulations, you think it'll work in its current form. It's just a matter of being able to actually, like, make it in more than test sample size doses, because polymerization and such is difficult. All right, mechanics team.
Yeah,
Grix.
Mm-hmm.
Roll your intelligence.
This is a round 2.
This is round 2. Yeah.
Okay. Worse. 2 worse. 16.
All right. You all are running into some issues with the auto inject system. There is a side benefit? Question mark. So once upon a time, there was research into high concentrations of this thing, potentially making it explode. Well, during one of your tests, you discovered you accidentally figured out how to do that now.
Okay.
Test room took some cleaning.
Sure.
But basically, You probably wouldn't want to use the actual cure on it because it would be expensive, but you might be able to use some of a... You might have a lead on a burst of sunlight grenade thing you could use against the corruption as well.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
All right. And then round three. Don't worry, there are only four rounds. Alchemy folks.
Once again.
Yep. I know. Rolling dice.
Who knew?
My primary attribute. Yeah.
That would be 22.
Yeah, I got 23.
Okay.
That's our best one yet.
Yeah. So you all figure out a good way to make this a little more easy to produce. You think you could get into the double digits now. The big thing you're running into is you don't know if there's a good way to, like, brew it on scale. So I think one of your last things would be, I think one of your last research roles would be trying to figure out how to scale this up from, we can make this in a lab to we can make this on, like, non-lab grade equipment.
And how big a batch can we make at one time before it becomes ineffective?
Yeah, there's also that. You don't really know the shelf life on this stuff. Okay, Grix.
Yes.
We're working on stabs.
Stabs.
Stabs. So roll an intelligence check, please.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very good. 29.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. You also just outshine the rest of your team, one of whom rolled mediocre and two of whom rolled garbage.
Uh-oh.
So,
well, good.
That's right.
Glad I can pick up the slack of these folks.
That's a good energy to bring to this collaborative process. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you figure out how to make an auto-injector that can be stabbed into somebody. And basically, it is spring-loaded, as you suggested. So you'd stab it in, you'd flick a switch that's on the side of it, and that would, you know, release the catch to shove a whole bunch of medicine into someone real fast. You think you have it of a size that it can be used by anyone who knows how to use a dagger, which is virtually everyone who has a class in CNC. So you think that's pretty usable. Ranged option, I think, is still technically viable, but would be another step in the research. Is there anything else you want to look for in your delivery device besides can stab into creature?
I don't think so. I mean, it's nice to cure and recover the creatures if we can, but if it doesn't work for some reason, then we just kill them because it's us or them.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
Oh, yeah. The upgraded version of this formula would include a third stage of magical healing potion, but I feel like we're rushing this research as it is.
Yeah. No, I think that's all I'm looking for.
Okay.
Stab inject.
All right, you have stab inject. When we do a fourth round, I'll go into some other stuff that you might be able to figure out.
Or we could dip harder on the shootable.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
Okay. So that was round.
So where are we doing this? We're down in the Jinkies lab?
You're all down in the Jinkies lab for this, yeah.
Okay.
They have all the equipment in the space.
Okay.
All right.
And fire extinguishers.
All right, and then it is time for round three. Oh, boy. Yes, round three. Okay. So, alchemy folks, let's try to figure out some...
22 again.
Let's... 22? Right. Mass production.
Oh, 27.
All right. Everyone rolls pretty damn well, including Lucky. So, all of you folks, especially Vons and Lucky, but Wealthy, I think you've had some experience with the brewery at this point as well.
Mm-hmm.
You think you figured out how to make this stuff in the brewing vats? It will be temperamental, and you still can't make huge batches. But, you know, you can have an artisanal limited run batch of cure, and you can probably really mark that up, especially if you put it in a special bottle. So, you know, that's something. You think you've gotten a handle on how to do this with less than lab-grade equipment. You still won't be producing hundreds and hundreds of doses, but more importantly, you've made it a lot easier for folks to do it. But you're still not sure about that shelf life thing.
Well, it beats the beer we've been making lately.
Well, you could come back and brew it.
Yeah, we're running out of the good ingredients.
Make more on the ground.
Yeah. That's the whole reason we're landing this thing. Yeah.
All kinds of new exciting ingredients.
That's right.
No, dude, we're landing this thing because we literally can't stay afloat. Like,
nope, to make beer.
Making beer? Yeah.
All right.
Jesse just goes, ugh, and has to go away again.
Yeah. All right. And then mechanical folks.
Yeah.
So, Grix, roll
working
your
green check. The shooty. 16.
All right.
Yeah, shooty's probably not going to work. It's fine.
Baker rolled a natural one.
Ooh.
Which mostly just means that she removes herself from the next round because she does not know much about weapons in general, and has probably reached the limit of her ability to contribute without knowing some of that stuff.
Sure. Okay. No problem.
That said, Cog and Righteous Fury did a good job, and you did a solid job as well. You figure out, you can definitely put this into an arrow. The crossbow bolt, I think, is a little bit harder just because the bolt is heavier, and so having it handle all that force is a little bit tricky. The current arrow, Jesse, make a wisdom check. They probably have you test fire some of these.
I got a 21.
All right. Yeah, so you figure out that the arrow for your standard, you know, longbow, shortbow sort of deal is still in balance. This is far better than you would have expected out of a basically projectile with a syringe on the end. But you've had to sort of weigh down much of the length of it to keep it balanced. And so that is just resulting in a shorter, you know, range and things like that. In practice, it would result in a slight penalty on attack rolls with it. And it's also big enough that it can only be used in full-size bows, so any hand crossbows or things like that would be out of luck for now. But you do have one more round. All right, and speaking of that one more round, last round of research. All right, Vons.
Yeah, I thought we did four.
Oh,
I thought three was our last one.
Did I say three? Do four for bonus stuff.
I thought you said four.
You said four, but we did four.
Well, I rolled a 14 anyway, so that puts it at 26.
Yeah, we did do four. Okay,
this can be bonus stuff then.
Okay.
Yeah, I failed to properly mark down one of them. Okay, so Vaughn's got a 26.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Wealthy get?
Wealthy got 25.
Okay. You guys think you have a lead on making this more scalable. The problem you're going to run into now is honey production. So, based on your last check of the valley, which I imagine happened off screen, basically you can produce this stuff in the vats now, you're pretty sure. It would still be finicky, but if one of you is, or lucky, or you know, someone else who knows both brewing and some degree of alchemy or vice versa, is overlooking the vats, it shouldn't be too big an issue because they can tweak things as needed. The issue now is supply. The efficiency level, for lack of a better word, for the honey is kind of low. And so just by volume and by your current supply of honey, you just can't make that much. But you've still made it to a few dozen doses ready in time for this big old battle, after which you'll be out of honey, but you can expand it later on once that gets going a little bit more.
We can put other stuff on pancakes.
Yes. All right. And then bonus stuff time for the mechanical team.
Yes. Is that just another roll?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
So one more intelligence check.
All right. 24.
Okay. All right. So with the 24, you figure out, you basically reduce the penalty on the arrow. It's now just going to be a -1 when they shoot it. And you figure out how to make the crossbow bolt work some of the time.
Okay.
For hand crossbows, it'll be okay. Hand crossbow range is just kind of low anyway.
Sure.
And it's a heavy thing, so it'll still have that penalty. But anything heavier duty than that has... It works most of the time, sort of. Just
a chance to break, yeah.
Yeah, it has a misfire chance, essentially, okay, where it breaks coming off the crossbow. But you've gotten it pretty far. Also, I offered these to Vons at some point, and between all the other mechanical research and a couple of crits that some NPCs got in the background, I'm going to say it's available. You can get the sun grenades that were offered at one point. These are basically like sunbursts. They would do a lot of damage to corruption and be not a huge AoE, but not a small one. Probably like a 10-foot radius, if you want to manufacture some of those as well.
I suspect we do. I mean, those sound like they'd be super useful against the likely airborne things that are going to be in the area.
Yeah.
Certainly annoying to our troops, but much more to them.
Yeah. So you'd have to hit the flying thing with it, but yes.
Or give it to somebody who knows what they're doing.
I mean, it's an explosive, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if the flying thing flies away from where you throw it, it's not going to be much use.
Oh, you just want to throw it at where you think they're about to land.
That's such a... Yeah, man. That requires a lot more training than I think that you think it requires.
It's also a bold assumption that the creatures will land.
Uh-huh.
Well, they gotta attack somehow.
That they attack from the air.
I guess you could wait until it's trying to pick up one of your friends and throw it then.
Yeah.
You would, or just get friend.
Just yeah, so long as the friend people is holding one. Just yeah.
I should be clear. This has the very high potential to damage non-corrupted creatures in its vicinity as well. This is a pretty brutal... This is just a burst of intense sunlight kind of thing. So, you know, it'll do more damage to the corrupted than it does to your friend, but depending on how hale and hearty your friend is, that might not matter.
Wait, does it explode, or is it...
This explodes.
And why would it do that?
Because that's how... Yeah, that's just the effect, man.
Yeah, this is a separate line of research from the injectable stuff you've been working on. This was something that had been brought up before, and so essentially in downtime.
Yeah, I remember us learning about it during the research, yeah.
It probably compacts it really hard or something.
Hmm.
Or you could just put an explosive in there, I guess, that exploded upon contact with air.
Yeah, what we're really after is just a rapid emission of sunlight. And yeah, that definitely damages the corrupted. So this thing's just for straight up damage.
Yeah, this would kill them. there's no
probably
cure in this.
Yeah, this would probably be more useful on the ground.
Yeah.
And you also have plazas they can attack. So there's going to be ground combat. This won't purely be aerial units.
Right. It's aerial units up here.
They
unless the aerial units are carrying ground.
They have frequently done that in the past. So, actually, that's another thing we can talk about real quick now that we've done the research and kind of know what you're working with. So, yeah, you have your aerial units, your rocks, no one's seen a corrupted dragon in centuries, but in theory they're out there. There's your much smaller things, birds, ontologically evil birds or whatever it was. No, it was ontologically evil moose.
It's an ontologically evil moose.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, you got your birds, you got your other flying creatures. They also have a tendency to use the larger, slower, less combat-y flying creatures to bring up ground troops and drop them in large groups. Most of the Ark's defense, there's a lot of the Ark's defense when the Guardians are defending during storms that is a not quite, you know, Roman formation, shoulder to shoulder, stop them from getting to the door as they march at us, but pretty close. Mm-hmm. And yeah, definitely when you're on the ground, it'll be useful, but there will be, based on Jesse's experience and what everyone knows about being outside during storms, there will probably be groups of ground troops you can throw the stuff at, too.
Oh, so, that sounds great.
All right.
Cool.
So I guess the last big thing we can do real quick is figure out how much of the stuff you produce. Now that you have your recipe. So. Sorry.
How are you going to run that? Make 500 crafting rolls.
No, I'm just going to have you guys make a couple big rolls and then roughly figure out how well it goes. So, all right. So I need intelligence checks from our three scientist-y folks.
That's a dirty 20.
22.
25.
All right. And then Jesse.
Uh-huh?
I need you to make a wisdom check because I imagine you are put on go harvest honey duty.
Great. That's a 25 on a prime.
All right. You all do pretty damn well.
I go and talk to, was it Jessica?
No.
No.
My brain is saying Lucy, and that is also wrong. Laura? Laura.
Laura!
Oh god, who's that?
That's the beekeeper
who we
brought into the valley.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know that you have a specific reason that you would need to remember who that was.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Jesse is the one who talked to her most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair.
Mostly because I'm the only one who remembers that she exists.
Are you the only one who can see her?
Is Laura in the room with us right now? Yeah, no. I'm not the only person who can see her, but I am the only person who thinks about her.
I mean, yeah.
Sad.
A little sad.
Well, I mean, if you guys...
We all sign a card for her. Thanks, Laura.
Okay.
Tell her I said hi.
Like that? Or just like normal?
Just okay.
It says Wealthy says hi on the card.
Laura's like, who's Wealthy? Have I talked to her?
With your powers combined, all your manufacturing efforts, you manage to make by running up basically until the exact night of the battle. You make, I just did this math and now I will do it again. Loading, loading, loading. You make 44 doses of this stuff to distribute among everybody and in whatever weaponized form you want.
Oof.
I mean, that's 44 people who will either, like, be able to go to their actual rest or that we can otherwise save. Uh-huh. So that's 44 less corrupted.
Uh-huh.
And the Guardians do have a pretty well-developed practice of if you're heavily injured, they just make you go back inside.
Uh-huh.
So they're pretty good at minimizing the number of people that get corrupted.
It's uh-huh. properly done. We could be jabbing somebody with this stuff, some corrupted thing, get a good sneak attack on it or something, jab it real good, and then have people haul it back into the mass unit or whatever you call it, and we've got another guy for our side for later. Be good.
Yeah. I will say that I think most corrupted would not be invested in saving against this. In theory, they could. So.
Presumably at this point, they know. I mean, they lost Shad, so.
Yeah.
And Shad went into getting cured knowing that they were, you know, still connected. So potentially the corruption would know what had happened to them.
Yeah. So I'm just saying basically like, this is as effective as you can get it, but like many medicines, there's no guarantee it works every single time.
Yeah, because we haven't had like a full clinical trial or anything.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't run it up against saving throws, so. Yeah, for all we know, some corrupted just want to stay corrupted.
Yeah. But yeah, so. But yeah, so you have a whole bunch of cure stuff. Also, did you guys want to try to make some of the grenades?
Yeah. Yeah, let's try working with a handful of them.
Okay. I think this will just be a... Well, okay, so I was planning on adding the grenade to be on Vons's concoction list.
Okay.
So it could be the kind of thing where he just produces them as part of prepping for the battle, like mixed in with the other stuff that he is presumably going to prep for the battle.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a shit ton of healing potions.
That makes sense.
But what we can do real quick is... Grix, Wealthy, and Bonds make int checks, and we will have it. So a few of these got produced kind of as part of working on everything, so you have some defaulted ones available.
22.
25.
Grix. Oh, me too. Sorry.
Yep.
I didn't think I was working on those. Got it. Natural one. I really didn't think I was working on those. Neither did Grix.
Yeah. All right. You were going to make 11, but Grix broke one, so you have 10. More can be purchased as, you know, the level of spell as a concoction.
Sure.
All right. Was there anything else that anyone wanted to do to prep for this big old final battle thing?
I mean, at some point, and I would love to do this not on recording, perhaps we should go through and decide what Vons is actually making.
Yes.
For other concoctions, because... most of us, I think, are way, way down on what we have currently available to us.
Yeah. But yeah, we can do that. I'm also, we will probably make this the next recording, but I'm going to have you do some deciding some tactic stuff for the arcs, where you're putting various key people and squads, things like that.
Sure.
To kind of prep the defense. Yeah, we can do the Vons potion stuff off camera. Luckily, you're going to be picking up your mech suit, which I guess we could do real quick. But is there anything else as individuals you wanted to do before we kind of do some of the bookkeeping and do the grand strategy layer tactic stuff?
No, I think Jesse is like pretty satisfied. I don't have any more character moments that I wanted to have.
All right. Real quick, Jesse, roll 2d20 and just tell me whichever's higher and what number you get.
I got a 19 and a 2.
Well, the 19 carries. Assuming you still want it to happen, a portrait of either yourself or your family, I'm not sure if you ever decided which, does get completed in time.
Okay, great.
And looks very, very nice.
We'll go with my family.
All right.
I think that Jessie would not want to have just a portrait of herself by herself. That would be weird.
Yeah. There was some vague reasoning given when it originally came up, but... All right. And then, well, Droa.
Uh-huh.
You have a mech suit.
I have a mech suit.
Does everyone go with Valdrella to pick it up so you can give a bunch of conflicting advice?
Please, God, no, not everybody. I'll take
Yeah, no, we're all going. We're all going.
Wealthy thought she made it out. And then everyone just appeared.
I gotta figure out why that bread keeps trying to attack me and figure out how to keep people in the house with it.
So it can attack them?
So they can deal with it while I'm doing something that I don't want to have people harassing me about.
I think it's Wealthy's not gonna like get
really
murdered.
What any of the peacekeepers or the guardians do. Like, if you want to know what's going on with your bread, you're probably going to have to figure it out yourself, my dude.
It's also happened, like, 1.5 times. Unless you're declaring officially that it's been happening in the background over and over again.
No, it's just the 1.5 times.
The half is from the cookies of dubious canonicity. all right, Wealthy, you go to Echoes.
I go to Echoes.
You go to a basement studio.
Basement studio.
You see a mech suit.
Yep.
This thing is, it's fucking big.
Yep. I'm going to be tall.
I have good news for you. Let me look at exactly how tall you are, because I did write it down for you. Yeah. All right. You are 7.5 feet tall.
I am 7.5 feet tall. That's right.
Thing.
And about, I think 5 feet wide is a little wide. I think maybe 3 is better.
I mean, this is a pretty big mechanical thing that's being clad around you, but 3.5, we'll say. You have to basically go sideways through a lot of doors.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this thing is...
Oh yeah, my shoulders are wider than my chest thing.
Yeah, so this thing is big, it is bulky. If you took, your full plate armor kind of thing, made it a couple inches thick all around it, and increase the scale accordingly to account for that being able to still move. That's roughly what you're looking at. I can't remember what you decided on for a face. It was just like a helmet front, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so the helmet is just kind of a big dome that's basically just fused directly with the shoulders. Because the other option is making a breaking point at neck height, which is usually not ideal for anybody.
No.
And so... Yeah, you're able to climb in. It shuts around you.
Yay!
Cedroa oozes into various bits and pieces to run the pistons. Make a dex check.
That's cool.
And keep in mind, your dexterity is capped at 8.
Oh, yeah. My dexterity is 5.
All right. Did you add your level?
Yeah. Okay, then it's 8.
What?
Sorry.
It's 3. It's 3 plus 14.
Uh-huh.
3 plus 11 is 14, plus 2 is 16. And my dex is capped at 8.
Sorry, your dexterity score is capped at 8. You basically have a minus 1 modifier instead of Cedrilla's current plus 2.
Okay, so then my score is 15?
What did you roll?
Yeah.
I rolled a 3.
Okay, so you rolled a 3, you add your level, which is 11, so you're at 14, and then you subtract 1.
And then subtract 1, okay, then it's 13.
That's 13. Yeah. All right. Dexterity is a prime for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tricky to move in this thing because, it's hard to manipulate a bunch of pistons and such. You are walked through it, but it's just you're piloting a thing in a world with almost no pilots, Steamboat Willie excepted. But you manage to walk around a bit, not lose your balance.
I can give you some pointers.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And you're pearlescent white. You are extremely heavy, which may come into play should any precarious suspension bridges, boards across gaps, or, awnings be the place you end up being on. Basically, what this does mechanically is you get 30 bonus HP. This can be repaired, but it can't be healed naturally. You have to use mend spells or specialty alchemical concoctions or like kits that you can make. You always lose the armor's HP first, and then when it's reduced to 0, the construct armor is broken, and it might suffer reduced functionality if you can use it at all.
Okay.
However, you are super fucking strong. While you're in this, you have a strength attribute at 19 for things like lifting, pushing, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this does not make you proficient in any weapons you were not already proficient in.
Okay.
So while your bonus would be higher, the I'm not sure it would actually outweigh the penalty of not being proficient. and you would only be able to add the strength modifier to damage on weapons you're proficient with, I think. All right.
My sword of my spear of champions.
You spear are still not proficient in spears.
I know. But the spear is proficient in itself, isn't it?
The spear does not wield itself.
Yeah, the spear doesn't have any.
All right.
The spear does not imbue proficiency on someone else.
Okay.
A spear is just a quarterstaff with a point.
And as every other time you all have made this argument, no. Also, I bet FM's still salty. You took it away.
Yeah.
It's going to have a whole redemption arc. It was going to be great.
When they hold this now, when they hold that now inside the mech, can they hear the spear's voice?
Are we holding it inside the mech?
Well,
or are we inside the mech?
Well, you are inside the mech holding it.
Yeah, well,
when you have the mech between you and the spear.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that, yes, you can hear it.
Okay. Interesting.
It makes sense if you are in armor and you want to be able to hear the spear talking to you. So
yeah.
No matter how deep you are in, they can you can still hear it.
It does make sense.
I hand you some tongs. Pick up the spear with the tongs and see if you can hear it then.
Well, if you roll an int check.
Int check. That's 19, 21.
You can't hear it, and you're pretty sure it's because of the artificial distance and not because it's offended by being carried by a pair of tongs. Okay. Pretty sure. Not 100% sure, but pretty sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah. The AC score of the armor is much like full plate. It gives you plus 8 to your AC. However, with that dex penalty, you essentially end up at 17. It does make you a pretty big target, so just keep that in mind. You can't swim in it.
Hobbs.
You can move at 30 feet, you can move the speed of a human, but you will just sink.
If you man, like water. Metal Mario.
Yeah.
You can collect all the coins at the bottom of the lake.
It's a perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely infinite oxygen inside this thing.
Is it watertight?
But we don't breathe.
Mmm.
I think it is nominally watertight, but it's not going to necessarily stay that way forever.
Sure, it, like, would it, like, be a problem to get it wet? And then not try and make sure that it gets dry in a...
The pearlescent coating helps it from, like, rusting and getting damaged.
Okay.
There's no, like, electrical system to short out, but it's more you would damage the surface.
Sure.
Okay.
So, don't keep it wet forever, places but it's where pretty it wasn't. Tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oxidizing places that are not... is not good to get oxidized.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Correct.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It does give you a minus 10 to hide and move silently checks, and I am allowed to rule that you just can't hide.
Sure.
Depending on the situation and the fact that you are painted pearlescent white.
There you go.
Just freeze. People may not necessarily know you're in there.
Or squidge yourself out the back door.
Fair.
Is there a back door? Is there like a flap on the ass?
There's a rear hatch to get into and out of it.
Kind of like Fallout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I should note that limbs can be lost when taking a critical hit from something sufficiently large and strong.
Battletech rules.
If Sidroa were, if we were to be in the mech and we lost a limb and that part of Sidroa went with the limb, could we collect that part and reintegrate?
Probably.
Okay.
The last time Sidroa got torn off of the rest of itself, the rest of itself died, so it's a little hard to test the theory.
Well, there is that. There is that. One question I do have. How do we see? Do we have to be like? Do we have to have like the head in the helmet?
The front of the helmet is transparent, and that appears to be roughly the field of view you are working with. So Droa can't see through a bunch of metal any more than the rest of us can. So,
okay.
You can close your eyes and try to feel the vibrations or look at your nearest glass of water that you are somehow keeping inside your mech suit to see if something big is coming. But also, because you are a caster, if the hands are in place, you're penalized as if you're wearing heavy armor. You can retract the hands because that was on the request list. That means you no longer have penalties to your spellcasting. However, because it is big and bulky, there is a 1 in 50 chance of a wild magic spell fumble while casting in this thing.
Nope.
Okay. And retracting and deploying hands takes a round. Basically, it takes the action you have in the round. You can still move and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy to switch back and forth. And I didn't write this in here, but there will probably be a small penalty to your AC when the hands are retracted because part of you is now exposed.
Okay.
So yeah, it's big, it's bulky, it's heavy. It'll let you punch things real hard and get hit a lot less.
Sweet.
Kelly, okay. I think that the next character that you play should just be like a barbarian because I think that you just want to hit things like really badly and be big and strong. And I think that you should chase your chase the bliss that it seems like you're attempting to chase.
That does remind me that you also asked for a... Well, you have a wand mount, but you also wanted a mount for a different thing that the builder just built. I will stat that out before the fight actually starts. And the other thing would be think carefully about what you're keeping on the outside of this thing, because you will not be able to reach inside the suit while wearing the suit to grab stuff. So you'll need to think about, you know, what am I keeping out here? So that's easily available, because otherwise it's going to be like rummaging around in your backpack, but worse.
Okay.
If your backpack were your belly or chest cavity.
Yeah. Turns out it's not very healthy to rummage around in there with your bare hands. Yeah, all right. So, you guys have your gear. And also, as a thing before next time, because a couple people have to do research, going into this, the eve of the final battle, I was planning on having you level up one last time so you can be slightly more durable.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds
Yay,
good.
Durable.
I believe these spellcasters do not change spell levels, but you all learn one new spell for free. So try to look that up. And then we can do the hit die rolls next session.
Great. Right.
Cool.
Sounds good.
But yeah. All right. Cool. Well, Woo. That's most of the prep. We'll do some tactics and next time that I recorded and some stocking up on potions that will not be. And then you'll defend the arcs as it lands. Hell yeah.
Yay.
All right. Good game, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Good game, guys. Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod. On Twitter, @primeattribute. And @primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all our blazed post. Is that really the term we're using these days? Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by, well, me, that's Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
Weird that you suddenly are saying that like all the time when you like never used to say that like ever.
Well, it yeah. sounds like my mom who insists that the underwear goes in the bottom dirty clothes hamper and not the top one all of a sudden when it's never gone in the bottom one. So, you know, I can totally buy it.
That sounds like the exact same situation.
Uh-huh.
Definitely, for sure. Thank you for giving us a universal thing that everyone definitely understands uh-huh. and
We've
would have thought of on our own.
My mother habitually does this, so, you know.
Sure. Fair enough.